So interesting that we can read the Bible so many times and it can never be mastered. It just keeps revealing new things to us always. And right now on Sunday mornings, and for a while, Ed Whittington's been teaching us the book of Acts. And one thing that struck me that I never really paid attention to previously is the story of how Saul becomes the Apostle Paul. And that story is told three times in the book of Acts. It's written by a gentleman whose name was Luke, which is also interesting in that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was only Matthew and John who ever did see Jesus or spent time with Jesus. Luke investigated everything. He became a Christian. He probably never heard Jesus speak or ever saw him. He became a Christian through the influence of Paul. Paul taught Luke, and now Luke shares with us. And Mark was the same. Actually, at the end of 1 Peter, Peter calls Mark his son in the faith. Mark becomes a Christian through the influence of Peter. So when Luke writes his gospel, he's sharing us everything that he investigated about Jesus. And he continues that teaching in the book of Acts, how the church begins. Again, a thorough investigation by Dr. Luke. But what's unique is he tells the story of how Saul becomes Paul in Acts chapter 9. But Luke goes on to say that Paul tells his own story about his own conversion experience in Acts 22 and in Acts 26. And all three stories are uniquely alike. And yet there are some differences, not discrepancies, but each one tells the story in more detail. So in Acts chapter 9, in verse 15, he tells us how God has chosen him. And on the screen you have, behind me you have it, how it's talked about. I'm going to be reading from my version. Interesting, Acts 9, 15, Acts 22, 15, Acts 26, 16. Good to remember all those passages. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, "The Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Now, what's interesting about this to me is how there's a different word in each of the stories describing Paul. In Acts chapter 9, he is my chosen instrument. And then in Acts 22 and verse 15, he's not called a chosen instrument. He says, he will be my witness. And then in Acts chapter 26 and verse 16, he's not called an instrument. He is called a servant and a witness. Now someone says, that's not a really a big deal. And it isn't, except I got thinking about these words. It just wouldn't let go of me over the Christmas season. If someone were to call you by a particular name, I don't know that too many of us would want to be called an instrument. But it's a beautiful thought. When I think of instrument, I think of music. I think of Tom when he played his cello. I think about Clem when he plays the guitar, Vi when he plays the piano. Being able to have this proficient skill in playing the music. And they say, this man, Paul, is my chosen instrument. Which took me back to the Old Testament. And I want to share with you a story that I think is pretty cool. This is back in the book of Nehemiah. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read little excerpts of it. You may remember the story of Nehemiah going back along with other prophets and so forth, of going back and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had crumbled down. And once the walls were built and worship was reinstituted, they were going to have this great celebration. picture this, if you will, as I share the scriptures. And here's what Nehemiah says. All the leaders of the Levites gave praise and thanksgiving to God, one section responding to the others prescribed by David, the man of God. Meaning, here are the walls now built around Jerusalem. And one group goes up on one side, and one group goes up on the other side. And it says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. We just finished Christmas, and at our Christmas celebration, there was music and there was joy. And now they're being commissioned, you will be joyful on this day. It was a direct command from God. You will be joyful. Don't come to the place of worship and not be joyful. You will be joyful, and you will celebrate joyfully with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres, instrument. The singers also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem. And then doesn't finish there. It says, I had the leaders of Judah go up on the top of the wall, and I assigned two large choirs to give thanks. And then it goes on to say, and all with the musical instruments prescribed by David. And then the second choir went up on the other, and it says the two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God, and so did I with all the other officials. And here's what I wanted to read. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children rejoiced. And then this, the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. I think that's awesome. Paul is going to be a chosen instrument. His voice will be heard far away. And look at us, 2,000 years later, and we're still hearing the voice of Paul, who is always giving voice to Christ Jesus. Now maybe being called an instrument isn't so bad. It's the instrument being used by God to take whatever limited skills we might have for the greater glory of God. I love what the Shorter Catechism says. The sole purpose of a human being is to know God and to love him forever. There's rejoicing in all of that. And even though Saul, who used to persecute Christians, has now become Paul, he is, in God's eyes, his chosen instrument to go to the Gentiles and let them know they too are the people of God. So when the church begins, it's very much a Jewish Christian church. Pentecost, a Jewish celebration. But the Gentiles, some of them who were interested would come and listen. But as you go through the book of Acts and Luke tells the story, it's God choosing this man who used to persecute Christians to now be a Christian and then share the message to some Jewish people for sure, but mainly to all of the Gentiles, which brings us back to the day of Pentecost when Peter and the other disciples were preaching and they asked all those people who heard the sermon that was preached about Jesus, well, what do we do about this? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. And later in the book of Ephesians, Paul, the chosen instrument of God, tells us that the far off people are the Gentiles. Us, far off, but now brought near. Why? Because of a chosen instrument by God. And what's interesting is this. Paul could have said, no, I'd rather not. Choose somebody else. It's not going to be very good. Because you know me, God, I was the guy persecuting your people. Now I'm so embarrassed about what I did. I can't speak for you. No one's going to ever listen to me. I kind of think I'd say that. Maybe you would too. Paul said, I am your chosen instrument. I think Paul found it fascinating that he lived as long as he did live. His journey was to get to Rome, to the emperor, to Caesar, and preach the gospel to him. And Acts, written by Luke, records that story of Paul getting there, getting closer to it. And so in Acts chapter 22, when Paul now tells his own personal story, he doesn't say, God calls me a chosen instrument. I have become, Paul says, a witness. And this is a constant story all throughout the book of Acts. You may remember the story in Acts where you have Peter and John, and they're going out and preaching and teaching, and the scribes and the Pharisees want to put an end to it, and they say, you need to stop doing this. Here's what's said. But to stop this thing, this preaching, from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men, Peter and John, not to speak any longer in this man Jesus' name. But Paul was a witness. Paul's an instrument. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. A witness. So many of us have watched movies. Maybe some of us have actually been in a courtroom where a witness goes up on the stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? I've never heard anyone say no. But that's exactly what Paul is saying. Yes, I will tell the story. He's a chosen instrument. He is a witness. And then lastly, I like what's told in 26 and 16. And I try to put myself in Paul's shoes in this story to think he's getting closer to his goal all along. And in Acts 26, Paul tells us the story so much more full than was said in 22 or in Acts chapter 9. He's getting to where he wanted to go. So he's talking to the governor, Festus. He's talking to a king, Agrippa. And Paul, with great confidence, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, I know you believe in the resurrection of the dead. I know that you believe that. And with great boldness, he tells the story of his own conversion, that at one time he was persecuting Christians, but God called him to be a servant. And what's the name Jesus suggested was the greatest name above every other name? The greatest among you will be your servant. And Jesus demonstrated it. But long before Jesus said it, at the end of Isaiah 52, all of 53, and all throughout the Old Testament, there is this one that's whispered and written about, the one who would come, his servant, the suffering servant, which becomes Christ. And Paul oftentimes in his letter said, I want to somehow know Christ even better and be like him. In Acts chapter 9, in fact, it was told by Ananias to Saul, Paul, I'm going to show you that you have to suffer for my name, but you will be my chosen instrument. You will be my witness, and you will be my servant. And it's so interesting. I wrap up with this brief sermon today. It's so interesting to me to watch a man from afar years down the road, impossible somehow 2,000 years later to put ourselves in his shoes, the culture of that day. It's beyond us. But to the best of our ability, to somehow crawl into his psyche to say, how can you do what you do? And again, it's the motivation of being God's chosen instrument and believing with all our heart that he was a chosen instrument of God. So when he is to become the servant, how does he do it? Well, Ed's been teaching us through the book of Acts how often Paul shows himself as a servant. But when Paul talks personally, I really would like us to hear the words of Paul himself. Listen to this. Paul says, though I am a free person and belong to no one, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And so he's quite honest, and he says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those who are steeped under the law, a Pharisee, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those who are under the law. To those who live by grace, to those who have no law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those who don't have the law. And that's confusing. He's basically saying this. There are people in my time, Paul says, who pay no attention really to the prophets. They are Pentateuch people. The first five books of the Bible, and that's all they believe. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Paul said, I became like them, and I showed them Christ. I showed them Christ in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what I did. I became like them to show them Christ. Someone says, well, where was Christ found back then? Everywhere. Remember after Jesus' resurrection, when he says to people, why are you surprised at my being hurt and being persecuted and dying, being raised to life? Everything that happened to me in my life, he says, was written about me already by Moses and the law and all the prophets and the Psalms. If you want to know about me, read the Old Testament and you'll find me everywhere. So Paul said, I became like Pentateuch people to show people Jesus. And for those who really felt like, well, we can understand the prophets, Paul said, I became like them. I showed them Christ through all of that. And for those who really weren't interested in any of that and wanted to live simply by God's grace, Paul said, I became like them to show them what it means to live by grace and to have a life that is filled with joy as being an instrument, as being a witness, as being a servant because of Christ Jesus. So someone might say, well, okay, I get what you're saying. Not bad information. Good. What's our application? And without being offensive in any way, and I kind of like it, we're instruments. See, God chose Paul to do something specifically. And God chooses us to be someone specifically. Fact of the matter is, God chose us before we were born to live holy and blameless lives in him, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul knew what he was talking about. He lived most of his life up until he was converted, thinking he was doing the right thing, and then, boom, God spoke to him. But we can look at Paul's life and we can be encouraged because you and I have been chosen to be instruments of God, to joyfully celebrate this relationship that we have with him. But beyond that, it is to become a witness for him. Why do you believe what you believe? Well, let me tell you why I believe what I believe. And it's not necessarily apologetics. It is just sharing with people what motivates us because of Christ Jesus. That's a witness. I'm being asked, I'm doing my best to tell people this is why I believe what I believe. And then lastly, we live our lives as a servant. In fact, the Bible says, whatever spiritual gift you have received from God, use it to serve others. The natural talents that we have been given by God is not to simply serve ourselves, but it's to serve others. We live for the next generation. And whatever gifts God gives us, we use, because we know we're chosen by God to be his instrument, to be his witness, to be his servant. What's interesting to me is that we have so much detail about Paul's life, we have little detail about his death. We know by basically what culture tells us over the years that after Paul being in prison for a while was taken outside on the Appian Way, and probably he was executed. There's no record of it. There's no written record of it in history anywhere that we can find. Paul wasn't interested in that because he knew, take my body, fine. You can't take my soul. If God wants me on the earth, I'll be his instrument on the earth. If God wants me to preach, I'll be his witness. If God wants to call me home, I'll serve him when he calls me home. It's interesting to me that even though our names are not written in the scriptures, we're all over it. We're all over it. Maybe we've never seen ourselves in that way, but God chooses us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us like you do, that you have chosen us to be your verbal instruments and witness and servants. May we honor you by glorifying you and doing the best that we can with the skills that you give us. And Father, in this coming year, may we be living instruments of your will. In Christ we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.